I'm not giving up on Carlton Davis. I'm not giving up on him. No. Whereas you and I both say au revoir to Mr. Hargraves in 2020.
Rarely.
Au revoir.
Very rarely.
Have you heard me talk French?
No, I mean, I was going to say very rarely
you
do
think
I ever
said that in Brooklyn? Walking down a Brooklyn street? Au revoir, Carlos.
For a new Ford, make it Bill Curry, Tampa Bay's first family of Ford for over 60 years. At Bill Curry, our prices are better than good. They're the best, and they're right up front with our $5,000 best price guarantee. That's right, Bill Curry will meet or beat any Ford dealer's best offer or give you $5,000 cash. Shop our huge selection of new Fords, then get the lowest price, the best price, or we'll give you $5,000 cash. Only at Bill Curry Ford, located on Dale Mabry, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium.
You know what? After the Bucks game in Seattle, 7:15, 7:30, I'm thinking about heading out to Pin Chasers. I'm going to need to wreck some pins after the Buck game, take some of my frustrations out. And I think I might show up for their 60th anniversary party. That includes 60-cent French fries, 60-cent bowling, and 60-cent sodas. That's a heck of a deal. And if you're a little left-hand guy that starts off his ball on the left-hand alley and ends up with strikes, don't bother showing up because I won't even say hello to you. That's Pin Chasers after the Bucks game. I'm going to be watching this Bucks-Seahawks matchup Sunday afternoon. It's a late afternoon start, and I will be at Buffalo Wild Wings, this time Pinellas Park, 4075 Park Boulevard, just west of US 19. We had a very nice turnout in Largo last week. Had a lot of fun with all you Buck fans. It was tough to watch that game, but we got through it. And it's always nice to watch it with a bunch of Buck supporters. Loyal fans. There aren't many better in the NFL after everything that you guys have been going through. Remember, Buffalo Wild Wings, Pinellas Park, Sunday, Bucks Seahawks, 4075 Park Boulevard, just west of US 19. See you people there. I've been getting the Santa Fe salad. It's got avocado in there, got a bunch of other things. Wash it down with a nice vodka cranberry. By the way, last week I asked for a mimosa. You know, the bartender says we don't have any champagne. What kind of operation you running over here? I might get it a mimosa this week, so you better stock up on the champagne.
What about the chocolate cake? You gotta give it a review.
No, cake. Because I can't take a chance on somebody being there and posting it on Twitter.
Well,
I've never lived it down in the last 2 months.
Well, you ate it before. Tell us about it. Give us a review.
Well, it was yummy, but it's not on my diet. It's on my diet restrictions. By the way, Man Beast intern Zach showed up with his brother and his buddies last week.
Yeah.
All they were talking about, you know, they could have been talking about Winston. They could have been talking about four more turnovers. They could have been talking about Hargraves, Carlton. You know what they're talking about?
Left wing.
Fantasy football. Oh, look at this. Look at this. They're looking at all these other games, and I'm saying, guys, see what's going on in Nashville, will you please? Another guy's screaming, I got Le'Veon Bell. He's not doing anything. Give him the ball. Fantasy football is going to be the end of all of us.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Ira Kaufman Podcast with the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the king of I can't say where you live, the custodian of Canton, the one and only Ira Kaufman. Oh, that's right, you're the wizard of whoopee too.
There you go. This podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford, home of the new $5,000 best price guarantee.
Now, Ira, a tale of two cities, two franchises in the National Football League that have been downright rotten for like a decade or so. The outhouse of the AFC, the Cleveland Browns. Here in Tampa Bay, our beloved Buccaneers, they can't get out of their own way. Just as we're starting to record this venerated podcast, there you go, venerated.
That's strong.
We find out that Baker Mayfield and the press corps of Cleveland are, shall we say, at odds? They went at it. I mean, apparently the knives are out for Mayfield in only his second season. And here, Jameis is kind of like, eh. Outside noise. That's what he said in his press conference. He was asked about the criticism, and it's out there. You know it.
Lee, these franchises rank 1 and 2 on the playoff drought chart. Cleveland's 1, and of course, they had so much hype this year that I, you know, if they lived up to the hype, and somehow snuck into the postseason. And if the Bucks didn't, the Bucks would end up being number one. That's a list you never want to join.
No.
So right now, the Bucks are on the list. They're number two. They're the NFC's longest playoff drought. Mayfield's losing it. As inconsistent as Winston has been this year, and he's been wildly erratic, he's played a lot better than Baker Mayfield.
I mean,
a lot better.
Really?
Yes. Playing better. He's got a better, and Mayfield's got a better defense behind him.
He sure does.
He sure does. And a better running back in Chubb.
Excellent running back.
Excellent. So it's all crashing down on Baker Mayfield. You know, say what you want about Winston. We just saw him at the podium. He's keeping his poise. He's staying on message. You know, the message that Arians wants to send out. Hey, it's all about us. Outside noise doesn't matter. He doesn't bristle about questions. He asked for Jenna Lane. He wondered where Jenna Lane was.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
He didn't notice that she wasn't sitting in her seat. I hope everything's okay with Jenna and her cats and everything. I believe she just adopted another cat.
Is that the one she brought to the beach?
I'm not even going to talk about it.
Because she had on Twitter yesterday, she brought one of her cats to the beach.
Now,
first beach appearance.
Now, Lee, we did a podcast earlier this week, and you made a big omission. I know you spend 6 hours going into each podcast, researching what your questions are going to be. You failed to mention, sir, and we'll touch on this at the end of this podcast.
I didn't say where you're living.
That I have broken through my own six start picking Buck games. I finally got one right
okay. Because
I bowed down, basically. I weaseled out, and I bowed down to Javier, Port Richie Lou, and all
Outlaw?
Yeah, Outlaw, all of them.
I haven't heard from Outlaw in a while.
And they said, stop picking the Bucks to win. You're an unbelievable jinx, Kaufman, Sage. And so I picked the Tennessee Titans. Almost blew that one because the Bucks maybe should have won that game except for the bad official. We'll never know.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bucks would have had a pretty darn good chance to take, you know, they would have had the lead with 4 minutes left. Now, with Hargraves and that secondary, that ain't no sure deal either. Mm-hmm. You know that. So we'll do our picks at the end of this segment. Now, Lee, talking about the Seahawks. Now, look, everybody says, 6-2, it's a brutal place. We asked Arians today, and some people asked Winston, what a tough venue, you know, besides going cross-country. Those people are animals. They make so much noise, and communication has to be paramount.
Arians called it a soccer match.
I want to point something out, Mr. DeKemper, and I've got my research right here.
Your stats are right in your hand,
Hesse. I have research. Here are your Seattle Seahawks.
Where'd you get this printout?
It's right here. It was in the Bucks cubbyhole, and I swiped it. Key statistics.
Mm-hmm.
At home in the 2019 season. They open at home against the Bengals. The Bengals. They win 21-20.
Ooh.
2 weeks later, they play the Saints. They lose 33-27 in a game that was not nearly that close.
Really?
They were embarrassed by the Saints. Now, I believe the Saints are the best team in the NFC.
It's hard to argue.
And you wouldn't be surprised if they're in Miami representing the conference. Okay. 2 weeks later, they play the Rams at home. They win 30-29. 30-29.
Yeah.
We know what the Bucks did to the Rams. 2 weeks after that, Baltimore comes in with Lamar Jackson.
Routed them.
30-16 Ravens.
Yeah.
So my point is, they're 2-2 at home. Their two home wins have been by 1 point apiece. 1 point apiece, including the Bengals, who the Bucks are better than.
Bengals are awful.
I don't feel that I'm being a homer saying
no.
The Bucks are better than the Bengals. So they're not quite the old Seattle that used to go 7-1. Or
Legion of Boom stuff.
Yeah, Legion of Boom stuff. Bobby Wagner's a heck of a linebacker. But think of the defensive talent that has walked out of the Pacific Northwest with Michael Bennett and Earl Thomas and Sherman and Chancellor.
Mm-hmm.
That was the Legion of Boom.
Chancellor was excellent.
Irvin, they had Bruce Irvin.
Yeah, yeah.
They've had a lot of good guys. So Wagner's still there. Now, Lee, here's the other side of the coin, and here's why this is a very tough matchup. And Shaq said it, and you were standing there when he said it today at his locker. And who's asking Shaq all the questions? Yours truly, the Sage.
Although I got the key one in.
You got the key one in from the back room. You asked if something about JPP, and meanwhile he answered it 10 minutes before that. Shame on you, DeKemper. Shame on you for coming in late, trying to throw a left hook after the round's already been over.
Hey, I got Chris Godwin. I told you what the story was about. Just me and Godwin, no one else.
I understand. Here's the bad news for Buck fans. Russell Wilson. Shaq said he's top three in the league.
Yeah,
I think he is. I don't think that's a stretch. Lee, he's the top-rated quarterback, and we don't need stats to tell us how good Russell Wilson is. Mm-hmm. You know how many interceptions he's thrown this year? One interception.
That's what,
number three's got 12. He's got 17 touchdowns. It leads the league What's even more remarkable is they've got Tyler Lockett, who I have in fantasy football, and you hate fantasy football.
I don't hate it. It's just not my cup of tea.
But other than Lockett, who's a good but not great receiver, you know, he's not Mike Evans, and he's not Michael Thomas, but he's good. They got a bunch of nobodies. I mean, they got a bunch of nobodies. This guy's leading the league in touchdown passes and has thrown one interception. He's a remarkable player. Now, one thing that struck me about Shaq, and I think Buck fans, we don't do a lot of X's and O's, Lee, but I'll give you this much. I asked Shaq specifically, given the unique mobility of Wilson, you know, he is a heck of a runner, and you don't want him around the edge. You don't want it. And I said, how does that affect you as an edge rusher? Do you take a wider turn? I thought that would be kind of logical.
Mm-hmm.
Try to keep him
contain
in the pocket.
Inside, yeah.
Contain inside. He said only in certain situations, maybe a third and 15, where you're worried about him scrambling for 15 and picking up. He says, other than that, we're going to take our normal angles.
Wow.
The defensive tackles are going to take their normal. Well, I guess once you get off kilter and do things you're not used to, you're messing up your own game. And I understand that. But he's so dangerous outside the pocket, as is Aaron Rodgers. By the way, Rodgers was masterful against the Chiefs.
Perfect
Absolutely
word.
Absolutely masterful.
That last touchdown pass, that will, we'll be seeing clips of that 30 years from now. Ira, when you're in a nursing home, when you're 90-some years old, you'll be watching clips of that on NFL Network.
And didn't you make the point that if Winston would have even tried a pass like that into the right corner, we'd be screaming, Jameis, what are you doing?
He'd get killed. But, and you know, you bring up Wilson, you bring up Aaron Rodgers, passing outside the pocket. I people may think I'm nuts. I'm trying to think, and I'm being very honest here, I'm trying to think of a quarterback I may have seen that rolls to his left and is so accurate time after time is Jameis. I mean, when he rolls to his left, that guy is so accurate.
Which right-hand quarterbacks are loath to do.
Yeah, and coaches tell him, don't do that. And that may be his best part of his game. And I honestly am trying, the only thing I can come up with, maybe Roger Staubach, maybe. And Staubach was, I think that guy may be the most underrated quarterback. It's almost like he's gotten lost in the wash. That guy was so good. I hated him.
Maybe Favre? Maybe, I don't know.
Saw more Favre
because
than I did.
He had the arm strength. Here's a point that needs to be made, you know, and I harp on it more than you do, you know, and I admit that. but, you know, the eternal search for an elite quarterback.
The eternal flame?
Well, you're killing me. And I mean elite. You know, I'm not talking about Kirk Cousins. I mean Rodgers, and I mean Wilson, and I mean, you know, Brady in his own way. The best of the best. And when you pick a quarterback number one overall, that's what you're hoping for. You're hoping for. And I even, and you heard me ask Arians this, you know, Bruce, a guy like Wilson, if you have one of those, and there aren't many, but if you have one, doesn't he cover up a lot of weaknesses, camouflage a lot of problems? Mm-hmm. Maybe your running game's not that good. Maybe your O-line's not that good. In the case of Wilson, and I think Brady, maybe your receivers aren't that good. I don't see Mike Evans on these teams.
No.
I don't see it. And Rodgers is doing it without Devontae Adams for the last month. He don't miss a beat.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lee, when you got one of these guys, you got a chance.
Yeah.
You got a chance to win 10, 11 games every year. And, you know, Seattle had a guy named Doug Baldwin. He was a good receiver.
Yeah.
He retired. They move on. Those guys make the receivers around them,
mm-hmm.
you know. And there's three, four, five guys like that. And the Bucs have never had one. I mean, they've never had one. Can you imagine if they ever got one, Lee?
So you're suggesting if the Bucs did have an elite quarterback, that he would make Breshad Perriman look halfway decent?
I'm not going to go that far. Because I think you and I are both maybe a little surprised he's still on the team at this point.
I'm surprised.
He's shown absolutely nothing.
He's shown nothing. Was it week two is the last time he did anything?
And they got to stop targeting him. You just told me they targeted him five times in the fourth quarter of a close game. Can't do that.
And not Evans. That's criminal. That you have one of the best wide receivers, and we all saw with our own eyes, Mike Evans took over that game in the second quarter against the Titans. He took over that game.
They had no answers for him.
No, and Godwin's having one of the best years of any receiver. Forget the Bucs, the whole league. And you're targeting Perriman? Are you kidding me? I don't want to hear, well, Evans wasn't open. Well, Godwin wasn't open. Coach, You're supposed to draw plays that get them open.
You know who does that? Andy Reid.
I was going to say Dirk Cutter.
And Reid's very good at it. Now,
oh, Reid is so good, yeah.
Reid, Lee, our podcast a couple of days ago, we didn't want to touch too much on the trade deadline because we thought it would be obsolete by the time we start.
Well, that's one way of putting it.
And so now we're looking in the rearview mirror. Now, Lee, the first point that has to be made is there was not a lot of activity league-wide.
Mm-hmm.
There was not. But your 2-5 Bucks stood pat, and I made you laugh today because I said, you know what the headline of the Bucks story is towards the trade deadline? Bucks to NFL, we're good. I mean, that's funny, but it's kind of the way it was. I'm a little surprised, you know. Look, I don't care what other teams do or don't do. I don't care. I'm talking about what's going on at one Buck place. And, Lee, I already wrote the other day, and you didn't have a problem with it, that the season's over as far as the playoffs are concerned.
With, like, 2.8% chance.
And it's supposed to be all about the playoffs. I mean, you know, you're desperate. You're begging. You know, nobody cares if they rally and finish 7-9, and nor should they. Buff fans should not be beaten down to that degree. Not to that degree where 7-9 is acceptable. Oh, it's a two-game improvement over last year with, what, Cutter. No, nobody wants to hear that.
I have to do a mea culpa. I have to say I was guilty. A couple years ago, I was so happy when Jameis threw that pass and hit Godwin, that bomb that beat the Saints. I was so happy about that. Thought that would carry over to the next season. The only thing that play did was make the Bucks lose out on that guard from Notre Dame he wanted so bad.
Quentin Nelson.
Yeah, that's the only thing that play did. And like I used to say, when the Bucks, oh, shoot, well, Chucky was coaching. Like 2005, 2006, somewhere around there, the Bucks lost a coin flip to Cleveland for a draft pick. Cleveland lost the play, or Cleveland won the flip, which means they picked before the Bucks. And it just so happened that year, I think the second last game of the season, the Bucks had beaten Cleveland. So there was your, that set up the tiebreaker. Well, because of that win, the Bucks lost out on, you pick, either Joe Thomas or Calvin Johnson. So the Bucks missed out on a Hall of Famer. And, you know, people say, no, you always played to win. I said, you tell me what that win over Cleveland did for the franchise and what Calvin Johnson or Joe Thomas would have done for that franchise.
Now,
but I was a hypocrite a couple years ago.
But, Lee, you have to limit your scope to the executive branch, owners, and the general manager. It doesn't extend to players. In other words, what I'm saying
is, no,
players don't care about where you're drafting, nor should they. They're trying to win that game, and you understand that.
And keep a job.
Yeah.
And get a job.
Now, Lee, who am I surprised about that are still standing on the Bucks? Well, I look at a guy like JPP, who's going to be in line to be a free agent because they restructured his contract.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Lee, coming off that game, if I'm a team, you know, that's 5-3, you know, or 4-4, like the Eagles or whatever, JPP could be a difference maker.
Yeah.
Lee, you pay a salary for half a season. You give the Bucks a fourth-round pick, and the Bucks take it.
Yeah.
Now, as far as O.J. Howard, if I'm getting offered a 3 or 4, I'm not taking it, Lee.
Yeah.
And I'm not blaming Jason Light.
No.
I'm not giving him away. And what message would that send to the Glazers if you took the guy 19th in a draft and a few years later you're taking a third-round pick and the guy's healthy? I mean, you can't do that. Ndamukong Suh. He's not playing terrible. He's playing okay. And I'm worried, Lee, and I'm going to say it right here on this podcast, and some people in Buck Nation aren't going to like it. I'm a little worried about Sue's motivation if the season continues the way it goes. Maybe another couple of weeks, even if they lose in Seattle, it could happen that fast where, like, 2-6, really? I'm going to knock myself out? I don't know. I hope he's a professional, but I'm a little worried because I've heard stories that he wasn't hustling that much for the Rams during the regular season,
yeah.
And then he turned it on. Well, there ain't going to be no January
here.
I'm a little concerned. You think that's a little overboard?
I don't think you're wrong, but I think Sue also...
He's got to get another check next year.
Yeah, he's getting close to the end for him. He's collecting big checks like he is. So.
He started in 2010.
Yeah, same year with
McCoy. Same year with McCoy.
I was on record, anybody on a one-year contract. I love Shaq Barrett. I really love
him. Even Shaq Barrett.
Yeah,
Shaq
because Barrett. I hate to keep using the word convinced, but I know who his agent is. His agent is Drew Rosenhaus.
So let's say he finishes with 16 sacks. That's not unreasonable to think. He wants a big payday, Lee.
Yeah.
You know.
And Rosenhaus does too. And I guess you could use the franchise tag on him, but Rosenhaus would blow a gasket. Rosenhaus wants, he wants him to win a lottery. He wants him to get on the open market. Now, maybe if you, you could always sign a guy to a franchise and keep negotiating on another contract. But here's the, here's
Rosenhaus will portray him as the second coming of Von Miller.
Oh, sure. But here's the tightrope you walk out on. What did Shaq Barrett do before he got to the Bucks? For all we know,
he was a part-time player.
Yeah, he's a flash in the pan, for all we know. And so you got to be careful. You can't say, just throw the Glazer vault at him. If the Bucks would draft someone, which they won't do, you don't have to spend $20 million on a defensive
end.
Are
you surprised at all that the tight end tandem of Howard and Brait are still on this roster after the trade deadline?
Yeah. I thought one of the two would go. I understand why Arians wants Perriman and or Scotty Miller to succeed. You can't force guys that aren't capable of succeeding, but he's trying to force them. Or maybe it's left, which I don't know. Arians likes these guys that just run like the wind down the sideline. We know Godwin can do that. Now, you can't argue whatsoever with how Arians is using Godwin. Godwin went from a talented prospect to elite. All because of Bruce Arians. And I don't believe in fixing something that's not broken. But gosh darn it, put Godwin out wide right or wide left. Don't put him out wide. Put Evans out wide. Put Brait in the slot or O.J. Howard in the slot. What, is there 11th commandment? You can't do that? And thankfully, Sunday, one of the things I saw that pleased me, there wasn't a lot, but one of the things I saw that pleased me, Cameron Brait was lined up at slot. Hallelujah. He could do it. And now, that was only for a couple plays, but, you know,
Lee, let's go back to the game at the L.A. Coliseum. The Bucks were coming off a devastating loss to the Giants. Devastating.
Oh, yeah, they choked.
Blew an 18-point halftime lead. Backup quarterback, no Barkley. Missed kick at the end. Don't get any worse than that. Nobody thought they were going to go out. And the Rams are a good team. Not great, but good. And they could be a playoff team this year. Wouldn't surprise anybody. Probably have to be a wild card the way the Niners are playing. And they're also behind Seattle. I mean, mm-hmm. That's a tough division.
Yeah.
The NFC West. Lee, the
no
more,
Kirk
the,
Cousins
the,
there.
No Kirk Cousins. Lee, the more I think about it, the way the Bucs played, now they did give up 40 points, but they were in command of that game. They blitzed them 21-0 at the start, on the road. You can't take that away from the Bucs.
No.
I guess what I'm saying, Lee, is we've seen the Bucs play a game like that. It's the only one
which
they
knows they're capable of doing that.
It kind of makes what has happened in the aftermath even more disgusting.
Yeah.
And that's a tough word. Disgusting.
Because we've seen what they could do against a good team.
They're kicking games away. I don't mean literally with Matt Gay. I mean they're kicking games away. They're minus six. Lee, they're minus six. You know how much Arians talks about the turnover chart. Oh. They're minus six. I don't care whose fault it is. Mm-hmm. The numbers are the numbers.
Yeah.
The Patriots are always in the top three every year. Is that a coincidence? It's drilled into these guys, the fundamentals, the details. Mm-hmm. One thing Brooks always says, you asked me the other day about Brooks. What does he say? Protect the football. Mm-hmm. It's his number one command. And he's talking about it, and he's coming from the defensive point of view. Mm-hmm. Protect the football. The Bucs are doing a terrible job of it.
Terrible.
Absolutely terrible.
Well, if they had a defense, I'm convinced if they had any kind of defense, they'd have two more wins. Because with the defense, you can overcome turnovers. I mean, Delphin was a turnover machine.
In the red zone, you can make them settle for field goals.
Yeah.
And that matters.
Yeah, this defense, you can't over... Forget turnovers. Even if the Bucs don't have turnovers, they struggle to win. I mean, they struggled to win against Los Angeles because that 10 pass defense is abysmal.
Now, you just mentioned pass defense. Lee, you probably didn't read my column today. I wrote about Carlton Davis. I said Hargraves has been well his woes have been well documented on Joe Bucks Fan and on this podcast.
All over.
Justifiably so. Davis has 8 penalties this year, 4 of them for pass interference. Hargraves has 2. He got back-to-back PIs. Now maybe the second one was ticky-tack. Both plays he ends up with the football with interceptions. Now the first one would have also been nullified cuz Vita Vea got and they declined
right.
The Vita Vea one.
Yeah.
So he would not have gotten that pick. But he ended up with his hands on the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Lee, I made this point, and it's right up your alley, where they have not done a good job, whoever wants to claim responsibility, it might be shared by several, of developing Carlton Davis in year 2. They have not done a good job. That is a bottom line. But having said that, I think he's the best of what they got. I think Davis has a future. I think
yeah,
Davis has a future.
Promise.
I like his length. He's not woefully out of position like some of their other DBs, but he's not polished, Lee. He's not polished.
That's a fair point. Well, he's also not a quick guy.
I'm not giving up on Carlton Davis. I'm not giving up on him. No. Whereas you and I both say au revoir to Mr. Hargraves in 2020.
Rarely.
Au revoir.
Very rarely.
Have you heard me talk French?
No, I mean, I was going to say very rarely.
Did I ever say that in Brooklyn? Walking down a Brooklyn street? Au revoir. Carlos?
What's the line I heard the other day? It's a French term. French.
Ménage à toi.
You know how I think, but that's not... I can't even pronounce it. It was used once in the movie Patton, where Patton like, aha! And he said this French phrase.
What's all this got to do with Carlton Davis over here?
Audacity. Well, you're the one who quoted France. You got me going.
Do you agree with me that Davis has a future? I think he's got a future.
Not as a star. I don't think he'll ever make a Pro Bowl. I think his ceiling is average to above average. I think that's his ceiling.
They've used 5 premium picks in the last 2 years on defensive backs.
It tells me
5.
And 7 in the last 4, if you go back to Hargraves. 7 defensive backs in the first 3 rounds dating back to Hargraves.
Dating back to Hargraves.
It means 1 of 3 things. Either they can't develop, they can't draft, or both.
None of it is good.
None of it is good. I mean, that's a lot of draft capital. That's why, you know, when someone says, oh, they need to draft another corner. No, they don't. Whatever you guys are doing, whether it's drafting, whether it's developing, you aren't doing it right. So, you know, like George Costanza, what was that? You know, I can't do this. I can't. It's the right thing to do, but I'm going to do it because I have bad luck. I'm going to do something else.
I'm going to do the opposite.
Yeah, yeah. So go buy a freaking corner. It's already a proven player.
Now, Lee, I don't want to get you upset, but when Costanza started doing the opposite, he picked up some girl at the coffee shop in 2 seconds. He did the opposite. He walked right up to her. She turned around. He said, I don't have a job. I live with my parents, and I'm going bald. She goes, hi, my name's Victoria. It was a tremendous episode. Tremendous episode. Now, Lee, we've talked about different segments of this team. I'm gonna throw another one at you.
The only time I ever get any luck if I throw my wallet on the table.
Your wallet, that's right. a bulging wallet. Lee, I'm not letting the running game get off the hook. Now, I know you don't like to focus on the O-line, and I'm not necessarily going to focus on the O-line. Lee, here we are. 7 weeks in. You listening to me, Buck Nation? 7 weeks in. And I believe, Lee, I'm going to my stats, and I believe I'm correct. And here we go. They're back at their 3.8 puny average, you know. And last week, they got some help from Winston on some of the scrambles.
Never good when your quarterback leads the team in rushing.
Lee, the ground game wasn't bad the first 2-3 weeks. Maybe 4 weeks going out to L.A. Since then, nothing. And it's not all because they're falling behind early. That's not the whole thing.
I agree. Tomorrow, when Brian Leftwich, when I say tomorrow, I mean Thursday, when Byron Leftwich has his weekly media availability, I'm going to ask him the following. I say, Byron, last game against Tennessee, you ran Peyton Barber 10 times. Every one of those 10 times between the tackles, 5 of those 10 times on first down. Don't you think you're telegraphing to the defense what you're going to do? You know, our good friends at Bill Curry sponsor this. Sean Sullivan, general manager at Bill Curry. By the way, say hi to Sean. Tell him Joe Bucks fan sent you. There's a discount waiting for you.
There's
a Joe Bucks fan discount. Anyway, Sean,
I hope Sean's out of his lethargy about the Bucks because he takes these losses hard.
Oh, my gosh. I think he needs Zantac. He takes them hard. He's one of the best Bucks fans I've ever met. And I was talking to him earlier this week. I told him this. People in a bar, when you're friends at Buffalo Wild Wings, I bet they knew what was coming. They saw Barber in the backfield. Now, if a guy in a bar or a sports writer or just some schmuck watching on TV knows that Peyton Barber's going to get the ball up the middle, right up Ryan Jensen's back, you don't think the defense knows?
Just like they also knew that the first pass in London was going to go to Mike Evans because he got shut out the week before.
Yeah.
They all the Buck fans knew it. And if they knew it, Carolina knew it.
You would think so. So that's what irks me. Byron Leftwich has a lot to grow for me to be impressed with him. I am not impressed.
Now, Lee, on the overview of the schedule, this is the end of the hellacious first half schedule. Mm. And even the NFL admits, basically, they screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
And they never like to admit that. You know that. I think the Raiders also have had a terrible first half schedule.
Yeah.
They also went to London. But not as bad as the Bucs. Not as bad as the Bucs.
They actually went to Canada in the preseason.
Lee, let's be honest. The Bucs have not handled it well. They just have not handled it well. When you're 2-5, you didn't handle it well.
Yeah, all those losses, yeah.
And I'll say this. I thought they were going to be 10-point underdogs this week. They're only 6.5. I thought it would be 10.
Wow.
You know, because
going cross country.
Yeah, of course. Seattle's traditionally tough at home. And they're a better team than the Bucks. I mean, there's no question about it. Lee, if the Bucks come home 2-6 to entertain Arian's old Cardinal franchise where he made his name, you know, like who's the casino owner in Godfather? My name's Mo Green. I made my name when you were going out with cheerleaders. Well, Arian's made his name in the desert, even though he had already done a great job taking over in Indy for Chuck Pagano.
But I think you're still talking about Mo Green.
No, forget about it. He got shot in the eye, Mo Green. Let's hope that doesn't happen.
My favorite line of Mo Green outside the famous line.
Drinks for everybody? Drinks
yeah,
for
when
everybody.
He walks in the room. Yeah. Freddie, how are you?
Yeah, yeah, Freddie, how are you? So if they're 2-6, which most people think they're going to be, and coming home, and Lee, you're like me. When you and I go into Gate D, the press entrance, for home games, and we walk from
you the just park, out of this, Ira.
And we walk from the parking lot to the press entrance.
Sweating.
Almost always, we see a lot of fans wearing the visiting jerseys.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Now, maybe because, you know, the Giants were the last home game, and, of course, a lot of Giant fans here. Chicago, same thing. You know, New England, same mm-hmm. thing. Detroit, same thing. Arizona fans don't travel, Lee. So here's the point I'm making. You're not going to see a lot of Kyler Murray, you know, jerseys going in as we go walking in. And if the Bucks are 2-6, Lee, I dare say, and I take, and like you say, I take no pleasure in saying it, the crowd's going to be awful.
Oh, it'd be half full.
It's going to be awful for Arizona. I feel bad for Brian Ford already. And, we're 2 weeks away from the game. There's not going to be anybody in the crowd, Lee. I haven't told a good story on this podcast in a couple of weeks, so I'm going to tell one. And it's the old Buck story, but it's a classic. It's an absolute classic.
All right, before we get to Ira's great story here, should be a fun one. Our thanks to Bill Curry Ford, presenting sponsor of all of Ira's work at JoeBucksFan.com. BillCurryFord.com is where you're going to see all of the great fall savings, including a new 2020 Explorer XLT. I'm looking at it right now at BillCurryFord.com. Lease for $287 a month. Get all the details at the website. Don't forget their nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles. BillCurryFord.com.
This Arizona game is going to remind me of the story they used to tell about the Bucks during that 14-year horrible curse of Doug Williams between 83 and like 96 when Dungy arrived. Mm-hmm. All those terrible seasons, all those bad coaches, the Lehman Bennetts of the world, Richard Williamson, Perkins.
Even the good coaches that flamed out like Sam Weiss.
And Sam Weiss. And the story goes, Lee, father and son goes into a Sears, Tampa Bay Mall, Saturday afternoon, 2:00. And before they go in, you know, he's got an 8-year-old kid with him. He goes, Scotty, watch this. And the father reaches into his back pocket. He's got two pretty good seats for the next day's Buck home game. He puts them under his windshield wipers with a note on the front of it. Help yourself. They go in. They buy a couple of things. They come out. There's four tickets under the wipers. Not two. There's four. Another guy put his two under the other guy's two. I think that's a true story. They say it's
not an urban legend.
They say it's not an urban legend. I think we're almost there.
Almost there. You said what? That was 14 years?
14 years of bad football.
And how many years will it be now that the Bucks
have missed the playoffs? This will be 12.
We're on the cusp of repeating that. And if you know this better than
I. And there's no curse to blame. You know.
Well,
what is it, the curse of Matt Bryant? You know, what are you going to do? And by the way, he just got cut.
Well, the reason why I bring this up, and you know this better than I, because you pay more attention to national media than I do, that's considered one of the darkest periods in all of professional sports. The Bucks were that bad. Here we are, a mirror image.
Nobody thought we could get anywhere close to that again.
But
nobody.
They are. And I hate
this. And what's it marked by? Total instability in terms of the front office and the head coach.
Well, I don't know. You can say instability. The light's been here how long? And before that, Dominic was here how long? Dominic was a lifer with this organization. So I don't know if you can say instability.
Well,
if
it started with McKay leaving.
Well,
but they have made the playoffs since McKay left. They have.
Yeah.
They have.
Twice.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But changing coaches every 2-3 years marks both of those periods.
Yeah. But you know what? I'm one of these kind of people. If you know, like Jason Light says, if you know you made a mistake, you move on. He said he learned that from Belichick. Unfortunately, he's getting a lot of practice with that recently. But if you made a mistake with a bad coach, and you know, I know that bothers you if you get rid of a guy in a couple of years. If you know you made a mistake and you know it's not going to get better, why continue? Why continue? I mean, and I'll give you a business example. Let's say Walgreens hires a manager to take care of a store in Hudson, and all of a sudden sales drop like a rock. Is Walgreens going to keep the guy? No. They're going out the door, you go.
Production business?
Yeah.
Look what Lynch is doing with the 49ers. Now, he's got himself a good coach, Lee, but.
As much as I hate to say this, they're
beating good teams. They look great. They got a hell of a defense.
As much as I hate to say this, because I like Jason Lane a lot, but you can't help but think, what if? What if that was the Bucs? If John Lynch would have taken over? What if? I don't think there's a Bucs fan out there that doesn't think that. I harbor no ill will to Jason Lane, but when I see what John Lynch has done, what do I always stomp my feet about? Pass rusher, pass rusher, pass rusher. That's exactly what Lynch did.
Now Shanahan's got a voice in what goes on there.
And, well, who hired him? Yeah. Lynch hired him.
Yeah.
They went out and got a quarterback. You know, I'm still a Jameis guy, but I don't expect him to be
and
here.
And that franchise was in terrible shape, Lee. Terrible.
It was Bucs-like. It was a circus. And Lynch has transformed that team. And I don't think there's a Bucs fan out there that when they see or read or hear about John Lynch and the 49ers being undefeated, they don't think, what if? What if that was John Lynch here? And you know, if the Glazers called up Lynch, say, you want the job, he would have crawled on his hands and knees for that job. Number one, has ill will for Bruce Allen. He can't stand Bruce Allen. And he still has a passion for this community.
He does.
And that would have been such a perfect fit. Again,
he roots for the Bucs, except when they play tonight.
Yeah, I hope to goodness that Jason Light turns this around and that someday there's a parade where Jason Light's in a back of a convertible having flowers thrown at him and confetti. But I can't help but every time I think of John Lynch and the 49ers and how he's built that team and what he's built that team with, I can't help but think, what if?
You know who's playing well? Kwon Alexander. Now, I was one of the guys that said, I'm not giving the guy $10 million.
Very few people were.
But when you have that good a front four.
I was going to ask you.
Yeah. That helps. Now, Lee, let's play the what if game. It's time for our predictions, my friend. What if? I'm going to start off. I'm on a one-game winning streak. You like that, Lee? The Bucs are angry. They're pissed off. They're mad.
Now, are you going to get Newport Richie Lou?
No.
And
I'm sticking to my...
Outlaw's going to get
I'm
mad
crawling
at you.
On my knees again. So I'm going with the Seahawks. It's only a question of when. I think they're due for a clunker, and I mean a real clunker.
The Bucs?
I think so. And I mean a clunker where they get whipped. So 31-17 Seahawks. And I want you to make the case, if you can, that the Bucs win this game. What do you got?
Which Bucs team is going to show up? Is it the Bucs team that went to Los Angeles and slapped around the Rams? They can do that. Is it the Bucs team that's going to beat themselves? Bucs beating Bucs, as Bruce Arians is known for saying, like in Nashville. This team, I don't even want to call them schizophrenic. Because they haven't shown up enough like they did in Los Angeles to say they're split personalities.
Well,
the Giants game
was a schizophrenic game.
The game. Yeah. Well, first half, they were fantastic. Second half, ugh.
You think this angry attitude could help them in terms of a result?
Only so much. I mean, that angry attitude isn't going to stop the interceptions. And by the way, I don't know if I said... Yeah, I think I said it earlier, how Godwin told me, you know, people are... quick to blame the quarterback. It's not the quarterback. And that was Godwin. He's a stand-up guy. Seattle, I can't. Their history at
Wilson's
home.
Wilson's too good.
Yeah, Wilson's too good. And the Bucs' pass defense is too bad.
a competitive game? Close?
30-17 Seattle. And I also hate to say this, but for every loss, the drip of the faucet gets louder that I'm not convinced Arians returns next year. The drip of the faucet gets loud. Like in the middle of the night, you hear that drip, and you're like, I hope it's not what I think it is. And that every drip gets louder and louder. That's what happened for every Bucs loss, that drip.
You think he's losing his stomach for this?
Would not surprise me if it came to the point he's like, I don't need this. I can go back home. I can fish.
Especially if he decides, Winston's not the guy. That's a key part
that
of it.
That would, yeah. Then you say, well, what are the Bucks going to do? They're going to overpay for Phillip Rivers, who's on his last legs? I don't know what the answer is. Is Arians want to stick around for 3 years and develop a rookie quarterback? He can.
They're going to get in a bidding war for Teddy Bridgewater? You know,
yeah, it's
with four teams that want him?
Well, I'll tell you what Pat Kerwin said on NFL Radio. Seriously, on NFL Radio. This question came up. Kerwin is no fan of Jameis. No fan of Jameis. And he believes that for every interception Jameis throws, he's given the Bucks a bargain on a new contract. He thinks, and this is sort of what Peter King said, sort of. Kerwin thinks it's not outrageous if the Bucks sign Winston to a 2-year contract. Essentially, it's 2 1-year contracts, both at $10 million. That will buy the Bucks time, not so much for Arians to still try to figure out Winston, but it'll buy the Bucks time to replace James.
Suppose Winston's camp wants to go somewhere fresh.
Well, Kerwin said that would be a dumb move. He said, who's he going to start for? Whereas he stays at the Bucks, he can get $10 million. And Kerwin said he's not going to get $10 million anywhere else. And if the Bucks do have a transition period, and all of a sudden it clicks with Jameis, well, it's win-win. So Kerwin is starting to think that the Bucks financially will be very smart to keep Jameis 2 1-year contracts at $10 million each. But you're right. Kerwin did bring up, you know, the chance that Jameis can't, like, forget this, go. And Kerwin's theory is the Bucks should call their bluff. It's like, if you could find somewhere else to start, go for it.
Kerwin doesn't think Winston has any leverage. He doesn't have
any. He has no leverage, yeah. He doesn't think he has any leverage at all. He said if the Jameis' camp tries to say, well, we'll go somewhere else, Jason Leif said, see ya. Go find somewhere else to start. Resurrect your career. He says he could see the handwriting on the wall. That's what's coming. Arians will look at the market. He's like, well, I don't know if I can get anyone better than Jameis outside of a rookie. And the Bucks will look at it as, well, we can't afford to get anybody better outside of a rookie. And he just says, you know, all the eggs are rolling in the right direction for this to happen.
Well, the only thing I got to say to conclude this podcast, Lee, is come join me, Buck fans. Come join me, Buffalo Wild Wings, Pinellas Park. You know why? It's a good place to drown your sorrows. See you out there on Sunday.